Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Robots Radio presents...
You're listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast, the best way for everyone from experienced dungeon masters to those curious about D&D to learn more about the worlds, creatures, and lore of Dungeons & Dragons.
Hello and welcome to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. My name is Sergio.
And I am Mary.
And this week is the world famous, the multiverse famous patron roundtable. We are joined by Darkwing and Coffee, two of our loyal patrons, to discuss. We're talking monsters. We are ranking monsters, the monsters we love, the monsters we hate, the monsters we love to hate and hate to love. All manner. We're just talking about different monsters, why we love them, why we hate them, if they're just cool, you know. I definitely have one list that just like, these monsters are freaking awesome. They look great. Their lore is awesome, and so I'm not going to apologize. Those are why I picked them.
That is the best reason.
There's nothing wrong with that either.
No, I mean, right? Like, it's. I mean, they say the rule of cool applies in D&D more often than not. I think that also applies to, like, you know, the monsters that you should, that you can love. Like mind flayers. I love them because of how disgusting they are.
That's how I feel about beholders. They're very special place in my heart.
I want you to know they were so close to making my list, beholders, on a couple of different times. I had to kick them off.
I thought about it, but I wanted to go outside of like the stereotypical, the things that are always associated with D&D. So I kind of wanted to pick from some different places for that.
For sure. Yeah. Like, again, same here. I considered beholders, but, you know, they're iconic. So I kind of wanted to deviate from the well-beaten path for sure. Although I say that, but I picked Tarisk. Spoiler alert. One of mine is the Tarisk.
Wow.
I say, like, I want to be cool and not pick the typical ones. But let's go with Tarisk.
It is Tarrasque.
I mean, tomato, tomato. I mean, it's going to kill you regardless.
Who the hell says tomato?
I just did.
Okay, fair. That's fair. You win, sir.
It was me.
Well, Darkwing, let's go ahead and get us started. Give us some of the monsters that are on some of your lists.
All right. Excellent. So, first of all, I love all monsters. My DM, which bled into my DM in skills, I'm a little cruel. Things are tough, and I'm just hard on players sometimes. So I'm a big fan of monsters. Like, the Monster Manual is one of my favorite books. Just the things, and then the bad guys in novels. So when I started with my favorites, they're all absolutely just personal favorites, mostly from novel and lore. I started with Artemis and Trary, which he's from the Drist series. He's been in the book since the second. He is the bad guy version of Drist Orton. And he turns into an amazing anti-hero, but he's still a villain. And if you want to use him in gameplay, he's so worldly traveled and gets into so many adventures and ends up, you know, he was a good character. So Salvatore just kept figuring out ways to extend his life. So he's got a bunch of cool items and just, you know, can be plopped in pretty much anywhere. And that's really where I came with him, is the strife he goes through the whole series, the doubts, the just complete mental breakdown this guy has if you're into that sort of thing in your novels. It's close to home, and I liked it very, very much. My second, I went with...
Well, before you jump too far ahead, going back to Artemis, you said that, you know, he was such a good character that Salvatore just continued to find ways to incorporate him into the story. I mean, it sounds like a lot like Dritz's own, like, origins. You know, he was meant to be sort of like the supporting character in the Icewind Dale trilogy. And there's like, man, this is like a really fun character that's got like a really fun like backstory. Let's go with that. Sorry, Wolfgar. Okay. See you around.
Yeah, that poor guy. Poor Wolfgar. Next Conan. Just missed it by that much.
Oh, I mean, and it's one of those kind of like, for those of you who are sports fans and you know, like Scottie Pippen is one of the best players, you know, in the NBA, in NBA history. But he was also playing on a team with Michael Jordan. So it's like, man, that stinks. That went way over everyone's heads. Let's move on.
No. I'm in. I agree with you entirely.
Just, you could hear the crickets.
No. That, I mean, it's an interesting analogy. Wolfgar and Scottie Pippen. I definitely have never taken it there.
Wolfgar is the Scottie Pippen of D&D novels. That's a shirt. Oh, that's a shirt.
That's amazing. all right. Well, so my second, I guess, that I wanted to run with has been discussed before. It's Zastam. I absolutely love this lich. Above all other liches.
He's your favorite lich.
He's my favorite lich. That's my bottom lich. sorry.
This is a wacky one today.
I love it so much.
He is by far the most entertaining. I've read all the novels of the Brotherhood of the Griffin, and his personality, you just want to love him. He's so charismatic, and he's so fucking evil. That's really just my own personal, I love this guy. If I wanted to use him in a game, he has a whole country. He rules Thay. He's got all the wizards. Like, it just, he's so easy. excuse me. So easy to just write a story around that. He's part of the ideas that I was talking with Gucci about this, that I want to bring Strahd through the garbage can of holding, and get him out into Faerun, and then maybe take over Kalimport, or I didn't get to this point, get to Thay, team up with Zastam. Now you've just got this apocalyptic D&D game, but he just becomes such a good character, Zastam, that, and he's almost impossible to kill, so you can just completely 1980s him. I'll see you next time.
Very, very Cobra Commander in the G.I. Joe's cartoon.
Oh, he is absolutely the Cobra Commander of the D&D world.
I like it.
I have never seen him not come back. And he just pops in the weirdest stories. You're just like, oh, hey, well, I didn't expect you, buddy. and third is, it's so generic.
Again, really quickly to jump in, for those of you interested, please, in some more Zastam, the bonus episode for this month will be on that character. So if you're interested in hearing that, sign up at patreon.com/dndlorecast.
Yes.
King of the segues.
There you go.
Oh, man. Excellent. Yeah. Okay. So number three is, it's so generic, it hurts, which is why I went first. Strahd is just, he's always in my top five, and he's he's right up there with Zastam. The personality, he's got a whole world around him. He is, and he's so flexible. You can do so much with him. And he's so powerful. He can always just be there in the shadows, running all the other bad stuff that's going on to your party. And the stories that have been written about him are awesome. And he's got connections to Dragonlance. You can make connections to Faerun super easy. If you want to get outside of Barovia, because it is never sunny in Barovia.
It's true.
And there's not much to say about Strahd. Most people know about him. He is the Dracula of D&D, and we all love him for it.
It's true. He actually did occur to me to be on my list, but he did not make it.
Oh, well, he made mine, so he's made one at least today.
And I've made an enemy. Thank you.
That's all I got. That's all my favorites. Now, I went through with the class assignment. We got to this point where it was the ones we did not like. I went ahead and I just figured out one from the player point of view. Then I got one from just a completely aesthetic point of view, which is where I'll start. And then I've got the DM's worst choice and not likable. So the aesthetic, I went with the cockatrice because it is hands down the ugliest, most foul D&D character. That's a bad guy. Yeah, I'm glad you like that. I don't like him on top of the fact I own chickens. So it's just creepy to look at any drawings of the cockatrice and then go out and feed my chickens.
That is fair.
Like they're just, you know, a few shifted chromosomes away.
Yeah, dude. And I will become a professional cockatrice hunter if they show up. They're done. Got to get rid of them. But, you know, and they're, you know, they're such a low level to play in a game that I typically start guys out higher level than that, just so we can like just jump in and really have a good time. So I don't see them that often. So there's that also. Now, my player's point of view, this is just all from personal experience, mostly. Mind flayers. I fucking hate them.
I hate them so much.
When I'm a player. So like they show up.
Okay, so you hate that. You hate to fight them.
Yeah, and it's because.
I could see that.
Ask yourself this very important question. How many parties have you been in? Where it's like, yeah, psionics, no problem. We got that covered. It doesn't happen. A mind flayer shows up and you're all just like, well, shit.
You're like just pouring over your character sheet. Like, all right, what can I do? Oh, I can't do anything.
Shall we go to jail then? All right, perfect.
I have to contest that, though. That was my favorite thing that I've fought as a player. But I have a murderous little gnome paladin that can do an obscene amount of damage per turn.
She also doesn't have
enough brain power to realize that's probably a bad idea to rush in real close. So
what is the name of this gnome paladin one more time?
My gnome, her name is Ganome Shahortstake.
That's okay.
Really?
You didn't know that?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
I love her so much. May is so dumb. I have like no perception, and it's fine because I, as a human, am easily distracted. So she's the easiest character to be because I didn't have to pay attention because she didn't realize anything was happening. So
you and one of the players I have, that's every player he's ever played. I've every time I've ever played with that man, that's the character.
I didn't see shit. Like,
oh my goodness, you two would get along fantastically. Oh,
all for it.
I am not. That sounds like a world destroyer. It. Oh no.
Oh,
destroyers, though. So it comes to my DM's worst. Hate this monster. If I'm running a game, if I pull out the Tarrasque, It means I have been overrun by murder hobos.
You're trying to
and
set an
they
example.
Will not listen. They will not calm down. Now I have to release a natural disaster on two legs into a world I've spent most likely months working on. And now everything's got to change.
Sort of when that, I was in case
oh,
of emergency, break glass monster.
Yes, they are. That's why I have a Tourette's. And I put this in my notes
here. Natural disaster on two legs. I need that as a shirt.
That's so challenge. So far, we have two new shirt
30.
Ideas.
Challenge rating 30.
Beautiful.
So that's, and because we like to make lists that are too long for the show and then have to break them down quickly, coming in second place for my player POV was the doppelganger, because they can just screw the whole world up and I've always backstabbed the wrong person. That is all I have for this list today. Thank you for listening.
And
I do appreciate all the feedback.
And one of the campaigns that I'm in, my DM pulled me aside and was like, hey, you're going to get captured by the group of doppelgangers that are sort of like, you know, pulling the strings in the city. And so you're good. You're still, you know, keep up your cover, but you know, you can sort of, you know, act slightly differently if you need to. And which I did. And it went on since we're only twice a week would be heaven.
Twice
oh my gosh.
Week.
Only twice
only
a week.
Twice a week.
Can
yeah.
I can
right?
I play with you guys?
We play twice awesome. A month. And then obviously if you know if scheduling conflicts occur, then like it might be once a month. But yeah. It went on for quite a while until and then finally it was, you know, they find the real Razzmatazz tied up. That's my character's name, Razzmatazz.
You gonna make fun of me for Gnome?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Carry on.
I heard it. I heard it.
And so, you know, they're like, what, you know, they're going, oh, the doppelgangers. And they're like, and this whole time they're thinking like, what is going on with Razzy? Why is he acting like such an asshole? Like, you know, what is his deal? Why is he stealing from us? Why, you know? And so, and then they tell you, know, they figured out like, oh, it's been a doppelganger. Like for how long? Like, oh, since like this point in time. And they're like, that was months ago. And I'm like, yeah, it has. And almost to the point, there's another character, my fellow leather boy, Xylalore. He was hurt for quite a while. Like the trust issues were there for sure. And so it was some fun role playing, absolutely. So I love doppelgangers because it can definitely lead to some fun role playing opportunities.
Yeah, that
man, I just mentioned doppelganger. Wow. So maybe I should have made them first. Damn.
Anyway, I don't know. I like them. All right, Mary, what do you got for us?
Oh gosh. I had at one point while trying to narrow this down, 35 tabs open with one on each page.
And you
so in Chrome.
You hate tabs. You
I do. This is a it's a known thing. I clear everything and close everything when I shut down because I can't stand tabs and I can't stand notifications. They drive me crazy. My brain doesn't like it.
I hate
notifications, but I love tabs.
Yeah.
I have 100 open just back and forth.
I don't know why you hate me, but okay.
I once shared my screen with Mary and she was like, no, take it off. No, I don't want to see it.
I don't want to see this horror.
I appreciate our differences.
Okay, I suppose I could do that too. So I had a hard time picking. But I guess I'll start with a couple of them are actually kind of similar in appearance. So I really, really, really like the Fractine, which was, I think, Spelljammer is where it came from. I would say don't quote me, but we're being recorded, so that's going to happen. So it's a two-dimensional creature that flies through wild space in the astral sea, folding itself and refolding itself like origami. When it runs into another creature, it unfolds and looks like a mirror, 9 to 13 foot tall mirror. And this is just the strangest little, I pictured origami swans, which is why I kind of went ahead and chose it, because that's such a strange thought. This giant thing just unfolds poof in front of you. I think it would be fun to all of these. I think it would be fun to be as a DM, but he was, he was the guy that I was kind of bouncing back and forth about putting in there. I think they're very strange, and it can imprison other creatures into demiplanes and stuff like that. And of course, I always want to cut the player's legs out from under them in battle. So I went with him. The second guy I went with is the one that I chose based on making wordplay, but also because he's horrifying, which is going to be a consistent theme. I like all the creepy.
I say that scratches two of your itches for sure.
It does.
Puns and horrifying.
Yeah, I had no choice. The remoras, and of course I began singing about, you know, that's remoras is where I went with that. But so it's a monster found in like colder climates up in the mountains, and you know, up at the end of Faerun, like in the Icewind Dale region, like up in those kinds of things. He looks like an insect with these huge spined wings coming off of him. It is just disgusting and beautiful. If you haven't looked at it, you definitely should.
I am right now. Just give me mere moments. I hope you can hear the book flipping through here as I try to.
Okay, so like centipede type legs, kind of an insectoid type body, long like antenna coming off of his face and sharp teeth, and just spines coming down his back, and puts off an unreasonable amount of heat, and that's how it travels through, you know.
Like its wings are sort of like, think of like a cobra's
cobra
sort of.
Yes, it's a very terrifying thing.
Okay, and so now that you said you like this, you were singing that's remoras, you had to have made at least one chord or at least one verse.
It was just a few lines that got me. It's because, you know, when you're trapped,
let's hear them.
When you're trapped in the ice, the heat starts to feel nice. That's remoras.
Yes. That is a shirt.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I knew, because as soon as you said, oh, I started singing it. Oh, that's remoras. I'm like, Mary is enough, like her brain works as in enough like mine that she has had at least a couplet, maybe even a few, but at least one couplet. So yeah, I'm glad that I was right.
You were,
and that we were able to hear it, and it was as
exactly
everything I
expected.
Hoped it would be.
It was beautiful.
I'm so very glad.
Beautiful.
See, my next, again, it's mostly aesthetic because they're all horrifying and terrible. Would have to be the Tomb Tapper, which I looked at because of his name being kind of strange. But these are like faceless, monstrous things that stand like 15, 21 foot tall, lust for magic. It can sense through ground, through these things, to find it. Seeks magical things, seeks magic, burrowing into the depths of, you know, plundering tombs and temples and caves looking for magic items and things like that. But what horrified me was the way that it looks.
It's god awful. It's an abomination for sure.
And the image
that is
of
this horrible.
Being general sized anything, and this massive, what's it, approaching you with these multiple rows of teeth in its belly is horrifying. It is, you know, that, and it has a massive sledgehammer with it. So it's just one of those, you know what? I don't think I want to run into this, but I think my players might have to. It senses magic within 30 feet of it. The only thing that can be a barrier to it is a thin sheet of lead.
It's absolutely terrible. And I think what makes it more terrible, as I'm looking at the drawing of it, so like you said, it's got this giant,
multiple layers of
like
teeth,
multiple mandible, right? Uh-huh. Like, so, mouth where its belly should be, and I just can't help but look at its nipples as the eyes.
I know, it makes it worse.
Well, now I can't see it. Now I can't not see it.
You can't. Nope, and he's got like a really cool like hat on top of his head, like a fez. Like that's what the top part that where a face should be, but isn't. Yeah, and it's a whole.
It's very all real monsters at that point.
Uh-huh.
So I love, so its movement is by burrowing. So I love the fact, because so it's, yeah, like you said, it's 15 to 21 feet tall. So you could surmise that its head is probably like at least 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
And its head looks like it could be, like it could be disguised as a rock.
Uh-huh.
And so very it just neat. Pops up out of nowhere mm-hmm. with this, with its nipple eyes and its mouth belly and its giant hammer and
yes,
it's ready to kill.
And I knew nothing of this until just now. I just kind of pulled it up while we were sitting here. I really like that hammer is made of a magma alloy, harder than most rocks. Like, that's just interesting and neat.
Yeah. The whole thing is just super cool. Also, when it dies, it just turns into this massive petrified statue of itself. Just a lifeless stone statue. So you could be walking through somewhere where these things frequent, and there just be these rows of statues of these things and having no clue what the hell they are.
I don't like it at all. I love it.
You're
definitely drunk. My players are definitely going to face one of these eventually.
Good. See, that's what I'm here for. Trying to horrify the masses.
Horrify, you know, and astound.
What's the challenge rating on that?
Oh goodness, what is his? I don't know. I closed out of the page really fast.
Don't even worry about it. I will look it up.
10. So not bad.
Oh, hey, perfect.
Yeah. See, I didn't go for the immediate, it's going to kill you in one shot. I'd rather them have to struggle through combat and get to play the monster as the monster would behave. Like that is one of my favorite parts of DMing, is getting to figure out their behaviors and how they're going to interact with everything.
And that challenge rating for a party of 4 or 5, that's like that sweet zone where that sweet spot where it's like, you know, they, if they're new to the game, by this mm-hmm. point, they've sort of figured out like how to play their characters and what to do. And so I like that. I like mm-hmm. that a lot.
It's a real solid foundation. Then I had two more. One I'll touch on briefly because I want to, he's going to have his own discussion. Because I love this thing. But I will start with the other one first, to be the Death Tyrant.
Oh, yes.
Almost a beholder.
Almost a beholder.
Nearly. It's just what happens after they die. It's a zombie holder. And he's fantastic. Lair actions are...
These puns are getting out of control.
It's gonna keep happening. I'm not apologetic.
Nor should you be. Good. You live your truth, Mary.
That truth is really weird. But yeah, no, I have one of these planned. If anybody listening happens to be in either of my D&D campaigns, just like unplug, like give me 10 seconds. He is absolutely going to be thrown at least one of my groups of players, if not more than one of them. I have some folks that are stuck in Barovia currently and being tortured emotionally by Strahd, who for some reason changes voices every time I am Strahd. So, you know, that's always fun. But I just love these guys. They've got the like negative energy, which is super weird, but everything about them, they've got fear ray, paralyzing ray, they can charm you. Like, he's just beautiful, and it's a giant floating skull. Like,
I mean, it's one of those things, it's like, hey, like, you know, a beholder is like the worst thing I can think of. Okay, mm-hmm. How about a zombie beholder?
How about this one's only got some of its flesh still clinging to it? Like,
And like the mini, I have a couple of miniatures of these, and the way that they have it set up where the orbs just float around it, I really enjoyed that from a Death Tyrant. So their eyes are just like these floating orbs around this mm-hmm. empty skull. Just,
yes.
Brilliant.
See, this one I would have to say would be my aesthetic. Like, he's, that's the reason I chose him, was the aesthetic. And then the last guy that I got, I almost can't talk about because his name is unspeakable. He is an unspeakable horror. And they are a huge monstrosity. It is made from mists. Anyway, so formed by the mists, it takes one of four forms. So it can be multiple different things. Whichever one of these forms you choose, that's which stat block, like, that determines the traits in the stat block. So you can, he's multi-purpose. It's very functional, you know, function over aesthetic. And this thing, I don't know how to explain what this looks like.
I was going to say, when you say function over aesthetic, when aesthetically this thing is
horrifying,
absolutely bonkers.
It is. It's like someone took every horror monster trope, combined them into one thing, and then gave it really long fingernails on one hand.
Like, it looks like
tentacles and spines and eyeballs and hooks and claws.
Like a demon and a house plant and a cat. And I don't know, something else, something with a bunch of yellow eyes. It's just had a baby. It's disgusting.
Yeah, that's so
disgusting that I want to talk more about it, and we will next month during our spoopy month.
Yes, because he needs his own special treatment because he's so beautifully disgusting. But yeah, that's where I stand, I think. So as far as things I've actually DM'd, being a tree ant was more fun than any of the other monsters I've been so far.
Do you have a voice for your tree ant?
Oh no, I was only playing against I was fighting myself, and I feel like you're gonna need context now. So I have, yes. I like to DM using an NPC that is a playable character somewhat. So she is a party member. She got separated from them because she was doing something. They went to find her. So I had to, they walked in on a situation that she was in the middle of, a fight she was in the middle of. For those purposes, I also roll the entire fight. So I could have completely murdered my person, which it was, she had 10 hit points left. So she was real close. But doing the actions of that towards myself was a lot of fun, just because of the nature of it, I guess, and the situation I had put her into. But no, I don't talk to myself when I DM myself. Goodness, I'm not that
crazy. You're not that what?
That crazy. Not that far down the rabbit hole.
Shots fired then, because I absolutely do.
Oh.
Yeah, I talk to myself all the time. Damn it. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
That's fine. That's fine.
I mean, just I feel like whenever I do it in a D&D game, it's socially acceptable.
That is.
I agree with you.
That is true.
Well, that being said, we are going to take a quick little break, go to the middle of the show to do all the middle of the show things. And when we come back, we'll have Coffee's list and my own list. Welcome to the middle of the show, where we thank the patrons.
Thank you to our patrons. Your support means so much to us.
It's absolutely phenomenal. Well, this week, because it is our patron roundtable, we want to thank those wizard patrons that have a standing invitation to it. We want to thank Darkwing and Bjorn Ironside, as well as Coffee and Tex Tinstar. Thank you so much for supporting the show. And to everyone else that is signed up for the Patreon, thank you so much. If you are interested in being one of the fine folk of the Patreon, you can sign up at patreon.com/D&D Lorecast. We have tiers ranging from $5 to $75, each with their own perks and bennies and all sorts of fun stuff, like early ad-free episodes or bonus content, t-shirts, mugs, hoodies, that sort of stuff. You can have Mary or myself join your campaign for one session, mm-hmm. or we can run a one shot for you and your friends. And it's a lot of fun, and it helps the show grow.
Yes.
You know, all the money that we use gets funneled back into the show to make it mm-hmm. bigger and better, and just a better experience for the community that we're building.
And, I will bring all of my terrible accents.
Every single one of them.
There and are of, so many.
Of which there are many. And of course, if you still want to support the show, but you're unable to sign up on the Patreon, you can still do so by telling a friend, old school word of mouth, or leaving reviews on Spotify or Apple mm-hmm. Podcasts, mm-hmm. Interacting with us on social media, whether it be Twitter at @DnDLorecast or through the Robots Radio Network Discord.
Yes.
Emailing us at dndlorecast@gmail.com to ask questions, to give feedback, to give insight, corrections. We're not above admitting when we're wrong.
Oh, yeah. Please tell me if I'm wrong at any point. I do not want to carry on being wrong with that level of confidence. I need to be corrected.
Exactly. And so let's move on to the latest and greatest news for D&D. Again, I gotta, ever since this sort of transition to D&D Beyond, it seems like every couple of days or so they have a new article to mm-hmm. help you in your campaign or in your character creation. Mm-hmm. And we're talking a lot about dragons in this episode, and they released an article called Dragon Tactics: Follow These Tips for Truly Legendary Dragon Encounters. So, as a DM, ways to make that dragon encounter all the more epic, all the more memorable.
Yes, that immersion is so, so, so important. Like for me personally, I'm real heavy into the role play aspects and that the immersion aspects of it. And so getting to see how these creatures are intended to behave adds to that. It adds to the flavor text of the game, and it's just exceptionally helpful. I have this one bookmarked for later.
And then leading from the dragon encounter to how to handle character death in Dungeons and Dragons, which happens. It does happen.
I feel
like, and this was released 2 days ago, and I feel this might have been a response to what was going on.
Now that we've murdered them with dragons, let's tell them how to deal with that in a healthy way.
I was gonna say, I think it was almost a response to what happened in Critical Role.
Oh,
we had some potential, some potential character death.
Yeah.
It goes into how to, not like plan for it, but how to like plan around it, how can using the death to drive the narrative forward and facilitate great role play.
Right.
But so again, like D&D Beyond is becoming a really fun source of material to sort of inform both the player side and the DM side.
Right.
And then as far as like news goes, I just found this out, but this was announced earlier this week, but the Dungeons and Dragons cartoon classic action figures are being released by Hasbro. All the characters from the 1980s D&D cartoon are getting re-released. So the first wave includes Hank the Ranger. I lost my one a little bit. There you go. Diana the Acrobat and Bobby the Barbarian. And Bobby comes with Uni the Unicorn. And there's also a Venger and Dungeon Master 2-pack.
That is amazing.
And so, they're like sort of like collectible action figures, as an adult, I'm not going to be playing with them. They're just going to stand on my, or sit on my bookshelf.
On your shelf where you've got all of them trapped.
Exactly. But I mean, it's just, very cool. Like, I mean, I love the fact they're coming back out again. Like, you know, this is all the things that we wish that we had as kids are finally coming true. I guess is the
and I'm the old easy enough to pick it. To acquire them. So timing is perfect.
I saw a tweet this week that said your 30s are for, you know, shedding all the conformity that you took up as a teenager and in your 20s.
That is so true.
And then someone replied to that is like, and then turning 40, you're basically like a feral. And then like shedding all that conformity and becoming like the weirdo kid that you were, like you know, the weirdo that you were as a little kid. And then someone replied like, and then once you hit 40, you're basically like a feral version of that kid, except you can drive and you have money.
Oh no, I agree. I hit 30 and things have just gotten better and better and better and better and better every single year since then. There's nowhere to go but up.
I mean, it's hard to disagree when you're able to just finally just be yourself and love the things that you love and, you know, surround yourself with people that also love the same things and not having to worry about, you know, seeming cool or, you know, all that stuff.
Right. All of those societal constructs disappear because you get to pick like-minded people like my co-host here.
Like me, another it's fellow like you. Weirder.
You're a nerd.
Another fellow weirdo nerd.
Yes.
Well, links to all that stuff will be in the show notes.
Yes.
Thank you again for listening. And let's go back to talking some monsters.
Yes, let's get back to it. I need to know what you picked.
Welcome back. We are ranking our favorite monsters, our least favorite monsters, the monsters that we think are absolutely disgusting, which makes us love them all the more.
They're beautifully disgusting. It's true.
We're talking monsters that we hate fighting against, monsters that we love fighting against, monsters that as a DM we love throwing at our players because we love to see the horrified looks on their faces. Monsters that we just think look awesome, monsters that we wish we could fight. And now we're up to Coffee. Coffee, what do you got for us?
I have a false Hydra.
That's a good one. Why bring it up? Why does it pique Coffee's interest?
Yeah.
Because you really, as a player, you don't realize it's there. Because, like, it's song.
And so, you know, so it's singing its song. And then have you fought one of these as a player?
No,
I've never even seen one of these.
I just looked this up.
I'm looking at it now. This thing is.
Yeah, it's a homebrew.
It is a homebrew. Yeah, it is a homebrew character.
It's a homebrew that is like, it should definitely be official. In my opinion, it's that cool.
Yeah.
Yeah,
this is. Yeah, never heard of it until just now. I'm trying to.
Can you imagine quickly this massive thing slowly making you lose your mind by its beautiful harmonies that it's singing? Like it's having an a cappella moment all by itself, and then you lose your mind to it.
Very Cthulhu-esque.
Mm-hmm.
And it has an ability to make others forget about it. So you, like, if you happen to survive or, you know, an encounter with one, it can make you forget that you ever experienced it.
Yep.
I'm sold.
No, yeah, it's very cool. Like I said, the psychological aspect of it is so cool. It's one of those that, like I said, it's homebrew, but I feel it should be canon. Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
it was created by someone named Goblin Punch for their blog. It says false Hydra. Common wisdom holds that the false Hydra come from the ground. They spontaneously originate as undifferentiated masses of flesh, potatoes that sprout from no seed. Supposedly, they germinate in response to lies, and that each falsehood causes a false hydra to swell flesh bigger. It's a flesh potato.
I'm dying. I'm sorry. The mental image is gross. I love it. Thank you for that.
So the false hydra enters a town through a humble enough method. Fattened on worms, it has been growing upwards these last few days or weeks or years, but it has now broken through the soil and emerges in a basement from behind the jars of fruit preserves, or pushes its face up through broken cobblestone, and then it begins to sing. While it sings, it is ignored. It just creates gaps in your attention and then slips through them. It is subtler than invisibility and more reliable. At this point, the false hydra is only a torso, presumably about the man's size, same size as a man's, buried somewhere in the ground. The neck grows up, up until the head emerges from the ground. The head is only the size of a man's head at this point. It resembles a man's head too, but white, hairless, and with thick deformities of the brow and lips. The eyes are wet holes, which already... Yes. I love this thing.
Did they just explain ADHD?
It's ADHD personified.
It really is. I'm like, oh, great. I've probably got one of these here. That's what the problem is.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah, it says, while it sings, the hydra exists in our blind spot. So it's one of those things like your hyperfixation. Like, you know, whatever you're hyperfixated on, everything else exists in your blind spot. You don't see
it. My hyperfixation is D&D races and monsters.
Yes.
It says the hydra eats people, of course. To eat someone, it must usually stop singing, which endangers the hydra since it can now be noticed. To make this task easier, the hydra usually drags the unfortunate victim a short distance underground into a basement, sewer, or small chamber that it has excavated and devours them there.
That checks out.
So if it's seen... and it can cause you to forget it. What if you catch one eating somebody or taking somebody? Then would you rule that that person would then be forgotten from memory too, like they never existed? And you've got like all this stuff in your house. You don't know who the hell that stuff belongs to, but it's because you don't remember that you used to have someone else living with you and one of these flesh potatoes ate it.
Well, it goes on. The man, the family, friends will notice the absence of the person that has been eating. But the song of the hydra massages their mind, smoothing the wrinkles of their brain. The hydra has eaten the man, who is now known to the hydra. The song erases the memories from their soft heads. They will not notice his absence, nor remember him.
Well, I don't want to think about it petting my brain either, but okay.
Wow. Oh, so, well, so.
I mean, this thing has, like, tier 3 or tier 4 level character, like, one-shot potential. Like, absolutely. Like, this needs to be a October spooky one-shot with the false hydra.
Spooky one-shots planned. Oh, my God.
I was just thinking that my poor bard doesn't know it yet, but in the Barovia part of the adventure, he's probably kind of have a run in. Didn't even know these existed. He's going to thank you guys. He's going to thank you.
It's like, where did you get this idea? Like, oh, coffee.
Oh, I'm going to throw you all. I'm going to throw coffee right under the bus. I'm like, no. I can prove. I prove I didn't know what this was.
There's documentation.
I had heard of them and knew, like, I knew about like basics, like the song and that it eats people, but I didn't know like all the different like characteristics or skills or abilities of the false hydra. And it is gnarly. I love it. It's
pretty gross. I appreciate you bringing that one up. Thank you.
Shout out to Goblin Punch for creating it and Coffee for bringing it to our attention.
Yeah. Thanks, man. That's a great.
Yeah, for sure.
Yep.
That's a hell of a name too.
The false hydra.
Goblin Punch.
Oh, Goblin Punch. Yeah, that too. Both of them. Both of them are great.
That's amazing.
We had another one of our patrons, Tex, who was unable to join us, but when we asked him if he had any monsters in particular that he liked or disliked, he said, "I know I like mimics and dragons, though."
Which,
I mean, I can't imagine liking a mimic as a player. I can imagine liking it as a DM, because then you could see your player squirm, or even as like from an aesthetic focus, because they're just cool. I mean, it's a trunk with like teeth and a giant tongue, right? But I am forever shook from my first mimic encounter. Before, like, you know, one of the very first times I played D&D, not knowing what a mimic was, and going into a room, and there's a trunk in there. Do you like, okay, do you want to try to open it? Yeah, sure. It doesn't appear locked, the DM says, like trying to hold back all of his glee, his murderous glee.
And that's why I don't DM on camera.
And then it's a mimic. So I like everything now has a mimic potential.
Yes. That's the best feeling ever. That level of fear creating it. Because there have been multiple times it's okay, you're gonna, so you touch the thing. Am I stuck to it? I didn't say that.
The absolute
But I
worst.
Love that you're scared of that.
And mimic came in as number two for my aesthetic. I just felt it was, so we all know mimic, we all know them, and unfortunately we all meta against them because we're like, it's a chest, I'm not touching it. I'm not touching it.
I poke it with my quarterstaff.
Throw the gnome at it.
Throw a gnome at it. She'll take care of it. She wouldn't care.
And I need to pick one up. But if you look up on Etsy, there are tons of like mimic, like dice holders, like dice trays.
Yes.
Like, and some of them, you know, some of them are pricey. Like, I'm looking at one right now that's almost $120, but it looks fantastic.
One of the journal designs I'm working on is a mimic journal, because I love them. It's going to be disgusting and amazing at the same time.
And then Tex brought up dragons, which again has to be from either an aesthetic point of view or like liking to run them, because I just had a run-in with a dragon in one of my campaigns and they suck to fight.
I have an NPC named NPC that's a silver dragon. Her initials are NPC, and I created an entire D&D campaign to make that joke.
I can't deal with you sometimes. I can't even with you sometimes, Mary.
That seems like a perfectly logical reason to start a campaign. I don't know what you're talking about.
I've done more from less.
It gets better.
Oh, it gets better.
Better.
Go on.
Her name is not Alestria Pendragon Chrome. So she's not a dragon and she is silver. Like, it's a whole, I went way too many layers deep, but I still love her.
And so your players that are in this campaign, did it go over their heads or did they get it? Did it land as well as you would hope?
It did. It did land as well as I hoped. So I had it alternating. Like, I was rolling to see when they would show up and she would not be in like humanoid form. And I was like, okay, there's no way that I'm going to roll between. It was like between some obscure set of numbers, like 76 and 83 or some weird number like that. First time showed up and she's doing like having a massive battle in the sky above them. First time they showed back up, she's a dragon. I was like, well, it was months of planning, but okay, it's worth it. Still worth it. They're like, really, Mary? Not a dragon?
Well, the reason, and it, the reason I hate fighting dragons as a player is the same reason why I love, you know, playing them as a DM. And it's because, this applies to any creature that has these. It's legendary resistance, mm-hmm. it's legendary actions.
Mm-hmm.
It's, and I just, anytime, especially the legendary resistance, it's like you roll an attack that requires a saving throw and they fail. It's like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to choose to succeed instead. And it's like, exactly. It's an Uno reverse and you just want to shake your fist at them. And then the legendary actions that they just, you know, they can just take just whenever.
Yeah, whenever they feel like it.
Just whenever. I mean, well, it's got to be at the end of someone else's turn, but I mean, they have that three happens. Of them.
That happens every 6 seconds.
And then, yeah, exactly. They have, and they can essentially have like three extra turns per round. It's ridiculous.
I love them. Fizzbands is one of my favorite books because I was really excited when they expanded, Wizards expanded on the different types of dragons and dragon lore. But I just, they're always going to be kind of a special place, I guess. So I didn't go with it, but I do love, love, love all of them.
Well, like I said, this is very recent. So it's very much on my heart. I like freaking dragons. I can't stand you. But then again, I also picked Acerak, an Archlich. Not my favorite. You know, I don't love Acerak as much as Darkwing loves Zaz-Tam. But
yeah, who wins that fight? Come on now. Who wins that fight?
I mean,
never mind. I'm sorry. Go on.
I was going to say, hard to say that Zaz-Tam doesn't pull that one out. But I was able to play Acerak in a small adventure against players, and they absolutely hated him.
Then you did your job correctly. Yes.
And what was great is the battle itself took two different sessions.
Jeez.
You know, because the first half of the first session, they were like dealing with his minions. And then the second half, they actually sort of like, you know, dealt with him. And I got to end it. I got to end that session, lead into the second one with him casting Wish. And so they had no idea. Oh
my God, man.
What he was wishing for. It was fantastic.
You're an evil genius.
I would have been so mad. I'd have been up out of my chair. Like, what do you mean that's where we end tonight?
No, it is not. No, get back here.
Sit
get
down.
Back here.
And so I had the players roll Arcana checks, and two of them succeeded, or two of them passed the DC. And so I whispered to them, like, you can tell that he's casting Wish. And so they, you know, tell the other party members, and then like out of like, you know, table talk, one of them like wasn't like, you know, is doesn't have as much familiarity with the game, you know, wondered like, hey, well, what is that? And another one who does, like, it's pretty much the most powerful wish in the game, or powerful spell in the game. So we might all be dead at the beginning of the next session. But instead, he just wished back for his HP.
Oh.
You're very kind.
You really are.
You're very kind.
I would be happy to DM pitting some of these top monsters and choices against each other as like a brawl type situation.
I just want you to know that when you said wish, the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man is the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, well,
I mean, it also, you know, the way I feel the way you should DM depends on the table. And some people feel that you should DM how you DM and that the people should accommodate, you know, you're the one, you know, more or less running the game. But at the same
DM
time,
by matching my player's energy.
Yeah, and so like, you know, this is my personal group of friends, and they're goofy, and they want to, like, you know, they're the kind of people that will, you know, kidnap a halfling, and you know, not know his real name, not remember his real name for like, you know, four sessions. Wow. And so, you know, so yeah, so they're very much murder hobo energy, mm-hmm. and so. You know, whereas if I'm DMing in a group and they like, you know, they want to have that sort of like high fantasy, almost like Game of Thrones sort of like feel for it. Oh yeah, like he's definitely, you know, not pulling any punches and power word killing a couple of folks, you know.
Power word kill.
I don't particularly care for that spell.
Sorry, just, you know, shell-shocked for half a second. Went right back in time. I'm like, well,
oh gosh,
I'm dead.
Yeah, power, it's one of those. One of
you either
those,
love it or you hate it.
And it's, I feel, and we're digressing from the monster talk, but I feel.
We are, sorry.
That power word kill is one of those, like, I'm going to cast this in order to escape sort of spell. In order to do, like, I'll get you next time. Last resort. Mm-hmm. And so, like, yeah, so you down immediately one of them. And so they're more worried about, you know, trying to make sure like their friend isn't dead than they are trying to, you know, take you down. And with that, Mary just messaged me like, we should do spell rankings.
I was trying to be slick. I was like, I'm not going to interrupt him. While
Mary, hell yeah. That was the idea I just had. Yes.
Well, then there you go.
I'm in.
And then I've got, So I included those because, you know, because of the legendary actions, legendary resistance. And, you know, I've recently had experience playing against one and hated it and playing one and loving it. And then, of course, I've got the Tarrasque, you know, super basic. But I mean, it's like a giant, like you said, it's what'd you call it, Darkwing? A natural disaster on 2 feet.
Yeah.
Natural disaster on 2 feet. The Tarrasque is a natural disaster on 2 feet. If you don't believe me, think about just Godzilla. Just Godzilla it, and then just make it worse.
Yeah, and
you got the Tarrasque.
And it too has its legendary actions, its legendary resistance, which, you know, make me love hate it. And then I picked a list based on aesthetics. Just like these just look cool. And then, mm-hmm. you know, and also love playing with them and against them, but the Demi Lich, which is a, like, much like the Death Tyrant, just like a floating, but much smaller, just a floating skull with diamonds or with jewels, gems in its eyes. And then the Drider.
Like, oh, half, the Driders.
Half drow, half spider. All, yeah.
All angry.
All angry. All furious.
That's, yeah,
they are fantastic. I mean, evil creatures. Oh,
everything
I love them
about the, like, but the drow look and feel and culture and law, all, everything about that just, like, scratches some sort of itch inside of me. Maybe it's like, maybe it's like the black metal fan in me. Like, I just feel like,
yeah,
like,
yes,
drow, like, would I be listening to like Scandinavian black metal?
Oh, by far. I can absolutely see that.
And then my final one is the Demon Lord Baphomet, which is like the most evil looking minotaur that you have ever seen.
Beautiful.
I mean, he, like, a minotaur with like evil looking antlers and this like sort of like giant cleaver and what looks to be like a barbed tail. I mean, and on top of that is the ruler of a layer of the abyss known as the Endless Maze. So, like, the whole, like, real life, you know, lore of the Minotaur, like, plays into it as well. And we'll definitely be talking about the Baphomet some more during October when we touch on all things spooky.
I left out my boy, my Nine Hells boy, for that reason, because I'm excited to get to talk about him later.
Oh yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Coffee, Darkwing, before we go, is there anything you want to end off on?
You know, I think we covered everything pretty well. Thank you for having me.
Of course, thanks for being here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this was an interesting episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you, listener, for letting us be a part of your day or evening.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Sergio.
And I'm Mary.
Fare thee well, dear listener. And until we meet again, may all your 20s be natural.
I rolled a 1.
Thanks for listening to the Dungeons & Dragons Lorecast. If you've enjoyed the show, please consider sharing it with a friend, following us on Twitter at DNDLorecast, or jumping on the Robots Radio Discord to chat more with us about Dungeons & Dragons. We'll talk to you next time.
have been listening to a Robots Radio podcast. Smart shows for interesting people. Check out all the shows at robotsradio.net.